Gaya Ram. Govijana Malava Divyavadariya Yasoda Nandana Bhagana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Yamuna Tira Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanavade Namaste Sarasota Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirmasaya Shunyavadi Pashtatari Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, Verse 43. Varan Vranishva Rajarshe Sarvan Kaman Dadante Mam Prasanno Janakaschid Nabuyor Hati Sochitam. Parari. Benedictions, Vrnishva, just choose, Rajarshi, O saintly king, Sarvan, all, Kaman, desirable things, Dadami, I give, Te, to you, Mam, me, Prasanna, having satisfied, Jana, person, Kaschit, any, Nabuya, never again, Arhati, needs, Sochitam, to lament. Now choose some benediction from me, O saintly king. I will fulfill all your desires. one who has satisfied me need never again lament. Purport. The Acharyas explain that we lament when we feel incomplete, when we have lost something, or when we fail to achieve something desirable. One who has satisfied Krishna and thus attained the Lord's mercy will never be troubled in these ways. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and he enjoys sharing his spiritual bliss with all living beings. We need only cooperate with the Supreme Lord. Sukadeva Goswami said, Muchukunda bowed down to the Lord when he heard this. Remembering the words of the sage Garga, he joyfully recognized Krishna to be the Supreme Lord, Narayana. The king then addressed him as follows. Although the Lord here appears as four-handed Narayana, we may say that Muchukunda was addressing Sri Krishna. All of this is taking place within the context of Krishna Lila, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is well known to Vaishnavas that the four-handed forms of Vishnu or Narayana are expansions of Sri Krishna. Thus, within the pastimes of Lord Krishna, there may also appear Vishnu Lila activities of Vishnu. Such are the qualities and activities of the Supreme Godhead. Deeds that for us would be extraordinary, even impossible and common, are commonplace, effortless pastimes for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Sridhar Swami informs us that Muchukunda was aware of the prediction of the ancient sage Garga that in the 28th millennium the Supreme Lord would descend. According to Acharya Vishwanath, Garga Muni further informed Muchukunda that he would personally see the Lord. Now, it was all happening. So, as is very common, we see that the Lord offers benedictions to persons when they get to see him. And if we have pure devotees of the Lord, then their benedictions will not be for material things. They will be for something spiritual. In one sense, they don't have to ask for anything because the Lord spontaneously gives what is ever necessary to support, maintain the devotee, or nourish the devotee, and give him bliss. So there is no need for a request in actuality. Right? However, in terms of conventions, when one meets the Lord and one praises the Lord, then the Lord should respond and he should ask, what can I do for you? So that's more or less a convention. Muchukunda bowed down to the Lord. As is stated here, there was, when Garga spoke to him previously, he had mentioned that he would also get to see the Lord. So that benediction is coming true, and therefore he recognizes here Krishna as being the Supreme Lord. So here it mentions that he understood he was Narayana, Supreme Lord Narayana. Even though Krishna was standing before him. So when a devotee sees the Lord, he recognizes him as the Lord. He knows he's not an ordinary individual. He is very special. There's no need to explain anything. Because of the bliss and satisfaction he feels, he knows this must be the Supreme Lord. And of course, we saw previously that when Muchukunda saw Krishna, then he, even though he had no introduction to him, he said, this must be the Supreme Lord. You must be Supreme Lord because of your wonderful qualities. So there is a automatic recognition of the Supreme Lord by the devotees, unless the Lord on purpose hides his qualities, as he does sometimes for pastimes. So in this case, there's no hiding his qualities. The Lord reveals himself. And Muchukunda recognizes him. So there is actually no difference between Narayan and Krishna, Vishnu and Krishna. That is made clear in the Nectar Devotion, in the first, the Purva Vibhag, the eastern section, where Rupa Goswami explains that Vishnu and Krishna are Abheda, according to Siddhanta. They are non-different. And in fact, they're not even two, they're one. We only have one Bhagavan, not many Bhagavans. But he has different forms, which is inexplicable to us in the material world, because we never see that. Yeah? But the Lord, by his inconceivable powers, can expand himself into many different forms. Some will have four arms, some will have two arms, some will have eight arms, some will have 1,000 arms. So the Lord can do this simply by his inconceivable power, and he's still one person. Yeah? And according to the expectations and desires of a particular devotee, he will see a particular form. So it's explained that actually why so many forms are there is because so many devotees are there and they have different desires. They want to see the Lord in different forms. They want to serve him in different ways. So therefore the Lord manifests all these different forms because of the various desires of the devotees. So we got the four-handed forms because some people prefer that. We have two-handed forms because some people prefer that. We have those who are dark in complexion like Krishna. We have those who are green or those who are red, whatever, different complexions, because of certain desires of the devotee. So, but it is one Supreme Lord. So when the devotee perceives Krishna, he can perceive him as Krishna, but outside of Vrindavan, there is a little bit of a difference. In Vrindavan, they say, okay, Krishna, the cowherd boy with his flute and whatever, he's just a cowherd boy. That's the identity of Krishna in Vrindavan. When the people of Dwarka see Krishna, or the people of Mathura see Krishna, the Yadus see him, then they see Krishna and they recognize him as Krishna, but slightly different. Because they also understand he is Supreme Lord. And so often we see that there's descriptions of Krishna and he's got four arms. Sometimes he's got two arms, sometimes he's got four arms. I guess interchangeable. When he came into the reign of Kamsa, he had two arms. But here we see when he came out on the battlefield to fight Jarasandha and Kalyavana, he had four arms. But it is no surprise for the people, the Yadus. They don't say, how did he change his from two arms? They accept it as an aspect of Supreme Lord, that Krishna can have two arms or four arms, and he's still Krishna. So, therefore, there's no disturbance in their minds when they see the different forms of Krishna, either two arms or four arms. Similarly, we see on the Battle of Kurukshetra, there Arjuna saw the universal form, then Krishna manifested four-arm form, then he manifested two-arm form. Right? And it was not surprising for Arjuna either that he could do that. So according to the circumstance, the Lord may manifest two or four arms in Dwarka or Mathura, according to the his desire, and the devotees are not surprised by that. They still understand it's the same person as Krishna. So, in other words, Krishna can manifest himself in different ways, even if it's Krishna. Then we get forms which are slightly different from that. So we get a Vishnu form, which is very similar to Krishna's four-handed form, but also a little different. It's not exactly Vishnu when Krishna has his four arms. He's still Krishna. Then we have Vishnu forms. And there we see, again, there is a difference in the relationship. Vishnu forms in Vaikuntha are served only by servants. Whereas in Dwarka and Mathura, yes, Krishna has servants and
Yaduza and Dasya Rasa, but then he still has friends, and he has the queens in Dwarka, 16,108 queens. So the rasas, more rasas manifest for Krishna, even if he's got four arms, than for the Vishnu forms. So there is difference again between the Vishnu form and Krishna with his four arms. He's still Krishna, so he still has more rasas, etc., and the sweetness is still intact to some extent. So, of course, it's also explained that Krishna is very special. So when Krishna manifests himself in the material world, all of the other forms of the Lord, wherever they are, there's different lokas, like Matsya is on one loka and Kurma is on another loka, and Narasimha has his own loka within the material world. When Krishna appears, they all leave their lokas and they merge into Krishna. So in other words, they concretely show that Krishna is the sum of all the other forms plus extra. And when Krishna departs, then they disappears, and they all go back to their abodes, etc. So Rama goes to his abode, Narasimha goes to his abode, etc. So Krishna contains all of the other forms of the Lord, and therefore he can manifest any of the qualities of any of these forms also. So this shows the completeness of Krishna. He is also Vishnu, he is Narasimha, he is Ramchandra, he is Matsya, he is Kurma. And whatever they do, he can also do. And thus they illustrate that very nicely, the merging into his body when he manifests in the material world. And this is of course an illustration of Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the, you could say, the principal form of the Lord, and he manifests all the qualities of the others. Plus, he manifests more than that. So, when we speak of Krishna and these so-called expansions or amsas, we should not think of them in terms of time. That there's only Krishna, then he expands himself into other forms. That makes these other forms non-eternal. But as I said, there's only one Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan is eternal. So therefore, all these forms are also eternal. There's no time when Krishna expanded himself into other forms. Just as there's no time when Krishna expanded himself into Radha. They're eternally Radha and Krishna. So similarly, the forms of the Lord are also eternal. There's no time when they manifested. So though they are called expansions, we don't put a time on that. So we call them expansions or amsas simply because they manifest partial qualities. That does not mean they don't have the qualities, because the Lord is the Lord in any case. But they don't manifest them in that particular form. Just as we have a full moon, and then if it's Chaturdasi or Triodasi or whatever, then less light is manifested. But it's the same moon. So similarly, some forms manifest 80% of the qualities, some forms manifest 90% of the qualities, some forms 95% of the qualities, or 98% of the qualities. Then we have Krishna, 100% of the qualities manifest. So, in this way, we should never think of the other forms as not being Supreme Lord or whatever, and they're incomplete in any way. But there is differences in terms of experience of the devotees in relation to these different forms. But each devotee, when he sees a particular form, is fully satisfied with that. So some people worship Ramchandra, they realize Ramchandra, they realize the relationship in Dasya, and they get great bliss from that. And they don't think of anything else. It's completely satisfying to them. Some will worship Vishnu with four arms, they're satisfied with that completely. Others may worship Narasimha or Matsya or Kurma. They're completely satisfied with that. And similarly, some worship Krishna, and they're also satisfied with that relationship. So, though we grade them, less and more, more and more intense, etc., still, for those devotees, that is not a factor, that is not important for them. They're fully satisfied with the particular form that they are worshiping in serve. So the same goes for Krishna. There are different types of devotees. Some are in Dasya, some are in Shanta, some are in Sakya, some are in Vatsalya, some are in Madhurya. But they never compare themselves with others and say, oh, that's supposed to be better, so we should try to become better like that. They're fully satisfied. So the cowherd boys are satisfied with their relationship and think, oh, this is the nicest relationship. And in fact, those who are in Sakya Rasa, they say that this is the best relationship. And there's a whole quotations that we'll give from scripture, from nectar devotion, etc., to say this is the best rasa because there's equality, complete equality between Krishna and the devotee. So in that sense, the best rasa. Others are imbalanced. In Vatsalya Rasa, devotee is superior, Krishna is inferior. Right? And in Dasya, the devotee is inferior, the Lord is superior. So in Sakya, equal, exactly equal. So the best rasa. So everyone, of course, some prefer the Dasya Rasa and they're completely satisfied with that also. Or some are Vatsalya, will be satisfied with that. So though we, objectively looking at it, we put Madhurya at the top and we rank the others below that, the devotees never feel that way. They're completely absorbed in their particular relationship with Krishna and they're completely satisfied with that. And for them, they don't want anything else at all. They never aspire for anything. So they never change their relationship or change their spiritual body into something else. So there's complete satisfaction with all these different forms of the Lord and even the different relationships with Krishna. Different devotees are get their complete bliss out of the particular relationship or the particular form. So therefore one can never criticize other forms of the Lord or other relationships other than Madhurya Rasa because they're all valid for those particular devotees. So, in this case, we find that Mochukunda is, he realizes Krishna, oh, this is the Supreme Lord. And, of course, previously, Garga didn't really say what form of the Lord he would see. But he calls him here Narayana Devam, which can mean, okay, he recognizes that Narayana is, Krishna is not different from Narayana. But sometimes we can even analyze the names to show that the names of Vishnu are also the names of Krishna. Because whatever applies to Narayana also applies to Krishna because he includes everything. And one meaning of Narayana is the shelter of all the jivas. Nara meaning jivas. Ayana mean the shelter. So he's the shelter of all the jivas. So yes, Narayana is the shelter of the jivas, particularly because in the form of Mahavishnu, everything goes into Mahavishnu. All the jivas rest there during pralaya, and then they come out again, they go back in again. So in that sense, he's it's often used to show that Mahavishnu is called Narayana. But, of course, in general, all the forms of God are the... they shelter the jivas. It's the nature of Bhagavan to give shelter to the jivas. And Krishna is the ultimate shelter, because he's the shelter of all the Narayan forms, as we see in the Brahma Mohana Lila. All these Vishnu forms creating universes were there, and then they all merged into Krishna, and only Krishna is there. So Krishna is the source of all the Narayans who give shelter to all the jivas. Then ultimately Krishna is the shelter of all the jivas, because all the jivas are in Narayana, and Narayana is in Krishna. So the word Narayana can also apply to Krishna himself. Of course, in another way, Krishna is, because he's the most merciful, so in that sense, he is the shelter for all the jivas. Because he shows his mercy to all living entities more than the other forms of the Lord. All the forms of the Lord are there. Then we have Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan with his sweet qualities. But Krishna manifests also greater powers than any of the other forms. And he also manifests more mercy than any of the other forms. So therefore, though that can be illustrated, because we see that if Vishnu kills a demon, what happens? Okay, mercy. He doesn't go to hell. He gets a good birth. Krishna kills a demon, what happens? He gets liberation, or he goes to Vaikuntha. So how does it happen? Mercy of the Lord. Krishna shows more mercy. He gives them liberation, or they go to Vaikuntha. And so we see the case of Putana or Agasura. Extraordinary mercy, even for demons. So, therefore, Krishna also shows the most mercy. So in that sense, he is the ultimate shelter for all the jivas of the material world. Because of that, Narada Muni advised Veda Vyas to tell everybody in Kali Yuga to worship Krishna. Because he's the ultimate giver of mercy, and the people of Kali Yuga are the lowest, so therefore they need the most mercy. So therefore, advise everyone to worship Krishna. So therefore he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam to tell everybody in Kali Yuga to worship Krishna. Why? Because most merciful. He is the shelter of all the jivas. So therefore the word Narayana can also apply to Krishna himself. It's not that suddenly Muchukunda saw a Vishnu form. You also see Krishna, the most merciful form before him. And within him, of course, there is the Vishnu form. In this way, Muchukunda, as a devotee, appreciates and the Supreme Lord for his qualities and for his form, his beautiful form. Whereas we see Kalayavana did not appreciate the form, and Jarasandha did not appreciate the form. So the Lord shows himself, but if we're unqualified, we still don't appreciate him, we still don't see him. So for the devotees get the real nectar, the sweetness from the appearance of the Lord, and the demons are deprived of that.
As you see, you know, this when Krishna come with him, all the avatars and merge, and you know, when Krishna go back again, all the avatars go to their own planets. Correct. So we know that the material world is eternal. Here always Krishna's personality is going on. So that means when Krishna comes, and all the avatars will come with him. That means in the planet that avatar is not there. The planet where that means, because Krishna eternal person is going on here, that means that avatar is not there in the spiritual world.
No, the planets, they have planets in the material world.
The avatar is here,
yeah,
not the spiritual world.
Yeah,
so those
Matsya and Kurma, they have their own planets somewhere in the material world.
So that avatar who is living in the material world, he only coming,
yeah,
not the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Another question was, you were saying this, according to the desire of the devotees, Krishna take the avatar. Okay. Because we know that, you know, that the avatar all have their own plans, even the spiritual world also.
Mm-hmm.
So someone might have some different kind of desire. So for that, can you say that Lord has to come that avatar?
Well, theoretically, yes. But generally, we accept certain authorized forms of the Lord, and within that, then the devotees can express their desire in different ways, because those forms also have various features of them, which can be altered, slightly changed, or whatever, according to the individual, as you see with Krishna, with different rasas, etc. We don't expect that then you can just concoct a form and then say, I'm a devotee, and therefore Krishna's going to appear in that form. Rather, the devotees accept certain forms. They have a choice, and they accept a certain form, and then they worship that, and then the Lord appears in that form.
The Lord descends. He also brings his eternal associates. So my question is that, can the same avatar be existing simultaneously, when Rama came here, Treta Yuga, along with associates, in some other planet, you can it's in the same time, or
yes, sir.
All the associates of the Lord, when they come along with the Lord, to one particular universe, can they exist same time in another? Because Lord is always performing a healers.
They can be in simultaneous, and they're also in the spiritual world simultaneously.
The associates.
Yeah. So they have many forms, even the devotees.
Suffering because their Lord is not there. So whom they will serve?
They may also appear within the pastimes of Krishna in many cases, as we see from the heavenly planets and whatever. Then they also appeared within the material world in Krishna's pastimes.
Okay.